Oh, there he is.
Can you see him? Where?
I can see him.
Where?
Oh, he's on mute. Hey!
There he is.
How are you guys? I've missed you.
We're good.
I've missed you.
Yeah, we're great.
Our little Adele moment.
I know.
Oh, wasn't that great?
We're going to talk about that.
Yeah,
we have to talk about that.
Absolutely. Talking about so many things. It's great. So, Rosie, really looking forward to this one.
I'm a bit nervous.
Why?
Because it's a big deal.
He is a big deal, isn't he?
Big deal.
But he's lovely. Yeah. So it'll be just gorgeous. And you know what? He can sing, he can dance, he can act.
Triple threat.
Triple threat.
We need a sound effect for that.
There should be one of the big wishes like that. Yes, we should introduce our guests.
Yes, so we are joined by Luke Evans.
Ta-da!
You will have seen him in massive blockbusters like The Hobbit, Beauty and the Beast,
oh, I love that.
Fast and Furious.
Yeah.
And with the release of his hugely successful album, A Song for You. So it's all happening.
It's all happening, Luke Evans. How are you?
Busy.
You are. Are there actually more than one of you? Have you cloned yourself?
Oh, honestly, it's not a bad idea. At least I would get to spend more than one night in my own house. But it's been a joy. I mean, listen, it's like a number 73 bus, isn't it? Everything happens all at the same time. They couldn't have spread it out over the year. No, I had to do a TV show to record, two films to come out. I recorded two films, and it all happened within the space of 2 months, and an album as well. I was like, okay, this is going to be intense, but you know what? I've got through it. I've enjoyed every minute of it, but really crazy. You know, every year I work, and I think this is the pinnacle. This is the best it'll ever get. And then this year's happened, and I literally will be floating into Christmas, the happiest acting, singing human being.
And that's good, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's that's lovely. What you want. That's what you want.
We're going to go way back to your childhood.
Uh-oh.
I know. Were you always a performer growing up? Was it always something that we wanted to do?
Yes, unofficially. Literally, if anybody would listen, I would be singing. Or I used to be a big fan of French and Saunders.
Oh, yeah.
And I used to recite whole sketches of French and Saunders. I love the two fat ladies that live together. That's a nonsense.
I love them, yeah.
Whatever happened to Baby Jane? And I basically would recite them. And I realised, looking back, that it was my way of being able to perform because I liked entertaining people. And if they sat and listened or they laughed or they listened to a song I used to sing, I felt great about it. And clearly that was the beginnings of what then became my career.
What if you hadn't done that, though? Did you ever have a kind of fallback? Did you have something? You know, everybody always says that when you go into acting. Oh, you have to have more than one string to your bow and all of that. But was it always just that for you?
No, I mean, yes. I mean, no. Hold on. Let me get this right. My dad is a bricklayer. My mum was a cleaner and a housewife. This kind of world was not something that you talked about as anything realistically, you know, possible, coming from the valleys of South Wales. So, you know, it wasn't anything I thought was going to be my career. I only started having singing lessons at 16 when I left school after my GCSEs, after I got a job, and then I started paying for my own singing lessons. And it wasn't until that moment when my singing teacher, Louise Ryan, who taught Charlotte Church as well, set me on these Eisteddfods, which are Welsh talent competitions, and you can either recite poetry or you'd sing or you'd, and different levels. I'd never won anything in my life, ever. And then all of a sudden, she put me up for these Eisteddfods, and I'd be coming home with like 7 or 8 trophies with my name on it, you know. So that was the beginning of me sort of realizing, okay, well, then I've got something. I don't know what this is, but it's lovely to be able to sing and compete and, you know that I've won at something, meaning I was the best at it that day, at that point, you know. Yeah, so that's really how it all started. But performing, yes, unofficially since the day I was born. I used to have a tape recorder. This is a very funny story. When I was 6 years old, I had a virus in my milk teeth and I had to have them all taken out.
Ooh.
Yeah, so I went to hospital. First time I'd ever been to hospital, and probably the last time, actually. And I've never told this story. This is brilliant. I had all my teeth taken out. This is going to be headline. Luke Evans had his teeth taken out.
Are there pictures? Of
you, Gumsy?
I don't know. I think my mum and dad, weirdly, when we were kids, we didn't take that many pictures, but I don't think there's many of me toothless, for sure. But as a present, my mum and dad bought me a tape recorder. Now, this tape recorder did nothing for me all I wanted it to do was record me. And so I would pretend I was on TVAM and I was Gordon Honeycomb, the TV...
the newsreader, yeah, of course.
Right, so I would do news readings and I'd be like, good morning, everybody, this is Gordon. And I used to call him Gordon Onion because I was so young. And I would interview my mum and dad or anyone that would be in the vicinity who would bear me for 10 minutes. And I would ask them, how is your day going? And what are you doing today? That's all for today's news. Goodbye. And that is basically... You could see there was a bubbling of some interesting creature growing here who wanted to entertain and wanted to do something. So, yeah, a toothless TV presenter.
Maybe broadcast, though. Maybe when mum's off, you could do the show.
Yes, that would be good.
Hey,
I mean, as if you haven't got enough to do.
Yeah, another thing you can do.
I'm just telling you, in my mind, I've just got a Gumsy Luke Evans.
Know.
It's just not going to be.
And you know, the only reason I've got fangs, you know, I've told you these fangs before, Lorraine.
Yes, 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 you have got fangs.
They is because they didn't take these out and teeth grow until they touch. Did you know that?
I did not.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And these teeth didn't have anything to touch, and that's why they're so long.
Ah, but that was good when you were Dracula. That was great when you were Dracula, wasn't it?
It was the only. It was the only way.
Didn't have to sit in makeup for hours.
Yeah, you got them. You got. See, honestly, you learned something.
So if you hadn't had that virus in your teeth, you wouldn't have got your teeth taken out. You wouldn't have had the tape recorder.
And you wouldn't have been Gordon Honeybunch. Yeah, we used to call him Gordon Honeybunch. He was so lovely.
And I wouldn't be as Gordon Honeybunch. Isn't that funny that I can remember that, that? That was such an integral part of my childhood, TVAM.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. I mean, because that's where I started 100 years ago. And it was it was great fun.
Were you a reporter at TV first? And then
I was a reporter for Scotland at first. Right. And then I came down to sit on the sofa and do silly things. And I had to get my hair done and wear pink clothes, some very, very bright clothes I did. Gosh, it's
and there was an egg. Eggs were
the eggs are still there.
Boiled
if
eggs.
You go to
in Camden. Lock,
yeah, you can see them. I love them.
It was.
I think they're so cute.
Too.
So look, there you were, getting your singing lessons. You and Charlotte Church as well, who's...
We saw her in a plane.
We did see her
completely
in a plane.
Irrelevant information, but we
did.
Saw her
we were very
lock.
Excited,
she had pink
we?
Hair.
She did, she was great.
Yeah, it was
I
very
like her.
For
I like her a lot. And obviously, you two must know each other very well. I mean, she's on the album and all of that. You know,
I mean, we go back, I think it's around 20 years now, which is a long time, if not longer, actually.
Yes.
I mean, she was 10 and I'm now 42 and I was 16 when I started singing. So work that one out. Never been good at maths. We've meandered into each other's lives throughout those decades. And I've been so proud of her, you know, because not an easy thing to be a child star of that size of star.
Yeah. Exactly.
And to come out of it and be just totally unfazed. And she has her own identity. She's very... strong-minded, and she has dreams and ideas and ambition, and she's never been scared to, you know, dip into different ideas and worlds, and she's wonderful. But what was great was when I asked her to do this song, she was like, yeah, but I don't sing that kind of stuff anymore. And I'm like, I know, but for me, would you just give me the Charlotte Church that we all remember? We know you've got those top D's in there somewhere. And, you know, I think if it wasn't me, she probably would have said no. But she was like, okay, all right. And we came in. And weirdly, you know, we've never sung together in all those years. So she came to London and we spent a whole day just in a studio between a plexiglass so that her massive vocals didn't overshadow mine. And we just looked at each other. And it was just wonderful. She's a real talent. And the voice, the pipes, my God.
I think it gets better and better. She really is. And you did Gogglebox together. Isn't that the best
we
fun?
Did.
Yeah.
It's the best one because me
have
and
you done it?
Yeah, we did it. Rosie and I did it. Don't we? We loved
did it last year. Did
yeah.
I want to know what snacks you picked because the producers asked us what snacks do you want for the show, and we had.
What did you have?
I got you a deep fried Mars bar.
You did.
Well, sorry, I got you. They got you a deep fried.
Do you know it was really nice?
It was lovely.
I bet.
I might as well
delicious.
Have injected it right into my thighs, but it was actually really, really good. We had booze and we had crisps.
We had some fruit.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
But we didn't eat it.
Obviously.
But we didn't eat chocolate. But what did you guys have?
Well, Charlotte's choice was scones with cream and jam.
Lovely.
And a cup of tea. And mine was Maynard's sports mixture.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
And,
very good.
And a bottle of Malbec.
Excellent. Well, wine gums and wine.
And wine, it makes sense.
That
makes perfect sense.
There's a theme going on.
So, look, there you are having singing lessons. And how do you go from that lad in Cardiff that's having singing lessons to being on the West End stage, which you were? I mean, what was the big sort of leap that you did? Did you just go?
No. So in 1997, I went to London for an experience of going to a college audition. It wasn't to get in, but it was for me to, because I was so young, and I think my singing teacher just said, just go for the experience so you can understand, like, if you ever wanted to do this for real, this is the kind of talent you're going to be up against. To go and just, you know, come back and go, okay, I've got a long way to go. These people are great. And, you know, but just have the experience of being in a real serious audition where, you know, these are life-changing moments for people, you know. So I went to London, couldn't dance, never danced in my life. I had to do a ballet class. They asked me what first position, put your feet in first position. And I was like, what the hell are you talking about? And I had to go and buy like a leotard and tights. I mean, it took me 20 minutes to come out of the boys' changing rooms because I was like, what the hell am I doing? All I want to do is sing. But I realized, you know, to go to college, you had to learn all these things. So yeah. I went through a painful day of jazz audition, never done it, musical theater, tap, contemporary, ballet. And just as I was ready to leave, they were like, okay, now is the singing. I was like, okay, well, at least I'm going to leave doing something I know I can do. So I went in and I sang Bring Him Home, a 16-year-old singing Bring Him Home.
Oh, that's a beautiful song from Les Mis. It's gorgeous, yeah.
Yeah, and I think if it wasn't for that song and the fact that I could sing it, I probably wouldn't have got the scholarship. Anyway, I came home, went back to work. I used to stamp the application forms for finance in a finance company. So I'd be out one morning, I had my rubber thimble on, and I was going through the paper, stamping it with a date. The phone rang and I'm like, hello. And I was stamping. It's like, Lucas, Louise, your singing teacher. I was like, oh, hi, Louise, how's it going? And she's like, you need to sit down. I said, well, I am sitting down. I'm stamping. She was like, stop. You've just been accepted into the college. And I was like, what? She went, and you have a scholarship.
Wow.
And I was like, now I didn't really understand what that meant. So I said, what does that mean? And she said, it means that you resign from your job, tell them what's happened. And you, in 2 months, you're going to move to London, find somewhere to live, and you're going to start college full-time for 3 years. Wow. And at 16, you know, I have no baggage. You just go, okay, are you sure? She's like, yes, I'm absolutely sure. It's confirmed. So I did. I told everybody in work, and everybody was so happy for me because they all know that I love to sing. We used to do karaoke on a Friday night or whatever. Everybody knew. And so everybody was so happy that I was getting this moment to move to London and pursue my dreams, which up until that point had just been a singing lesson every week in a couple of Eisteddfods. So,
wow.
It was a big learning curve. And, you know, so several times in that first year, I was like, this isn't for me. Because I was around a lot of people who were very colourful. I mean, I'd come from a working class mining town, and all of a sudden I've got these peacocks walking through this corridors, you know, high kicking it to lunchtime. And I was like, oh my God. But then I thought, you know what? There's room for everybody here, and I'm going to find my place, and I'm going to work on the things I'm not good at and make better the things that I am. And it was an incredible experience, one that I never thought I'd go back to education. I didn't enjoy it. I was bullied, and I didn't have a good memory of school. But this was different. This was like going to fame every day.
Oh, yeah, it would be like that, wouldn't it? It'd be absolutely fantastic. And you found your tribe as well. You just found what you're good at, what you love. What did your parents think?
Well, I mean, at that point, I'd already left home at 16, so they were already in shock and knowing that I clearly had a plan and they were just going to have to go with it. We're very, very close, and they, amazingly, because I'm their only child, so, you know, I was precious to them. I still am, and they are to me. But I think they realised that I had this dream and I pursued it all alone, not through the help of them. So they supported me. They just went, if this is what you want to do, then go for it and we will help you as much as we can, and that's what they did.
It's so lovely.
It is, it's great.
So lovely. So what was your breakthrough role then on stage?
Well, my first ever job was actually a musical. So I was in my third year, just done the showcase to sign an agent. I signed with an agent, and 2 months before I graduated, I got the juvenile lead in a musical called La Cava, which was written by Dana Broccoli, who was the husband of Cubby Broccoli, who created Bond, weirdly. So I was 20 years old. It was the millennium, year 2000. And I played the juvenile lead in a musical written about the Moorish invasion of Spain.
Oh, okay.
It was a love story. Julia Lana Brighton played the female lead, and Oliver Tobias played the male lead.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a moment. It was an incredible experience for me. And, you know, first time I'd earned a wage doing what I loved, and first time I paid for my own holiday. And so that was my moment. I don't know whether it was my big break, but it feels like it was the first moment I got to be on stage. And it was a magical thing. I mean, Dana Broccoli used to bring us in like a platter of food every day. I thought that's why our musicals, every rehearsal was such a Clearly it wasn't. We were just being treated very, very well. But yeah, and so then I did musicals for 8 years, on and off, and other jobs in between. That's how it began. Musical theater was a big thing. And then in 2008, I was playing Roger in Rent.
Oh, that's a great part, and that's a brilliant production,
amazing.
Isn't it?
Amazing.
It really
amazing,
is.
Amazing show.
And still resonates, in fact, probably is even more important today than ever it was.
Such a great show.
So you were doing that, and then what happened?
And then I signed with a new agent, who was a much bigger agent, and he told me about this play that was happening at the Donmar Warehouse. Now, back then, you know, it was very hard, unless it was a musical that was happening at the Donmar Warehouse. If he wasn't a straight actor, when I say straight actor, I mean an actor that does, like, theatre and plays.
Yeah.
I'd only done musicals. I'd really struggled. I wanted to be in a play, or I wanted to do television, even an advert, but I couldn't. I just couldn't get my foot in the door.
It's funny that, isn't it, Luke? Is there a sort of sniffiness about it that there shouldn't be?
I think there is.
That absolutely shouldn't be, because it's blinking hard.
Yeah.
If you can do musical theatre, you can do just about everything. But I think that's changed. I think that's changed a wee bit. But yeah, so it was hard for you to, as you said, to get your foot in the door.
Oh, yeah, really difficult. Yeah. And weirdly, you know, this play, he said, look, I can't put you up for it because we're not officially signed, but you should contact the casting director. It's about two Welsh boys and their mothers. Their mothers are played by Lindsay Coulson and Sue Johnston. And
wonderful.
So I thought, you know what? Well, I've got nothing to lose. So I wrote a little card, sent it to the casting director, Anne McNulty at the Donmar. I said, I'm a Welsh actor, nudge, nudge. I'm 27. And I'm playing Roger in Rent. If you want some tickets, or if I could meet you, that would be great. I didn't even mention the play, because I think it was obvious that that's what I was contacting her about. Anyway, long story short, 3.5 weeks later, I'd met the director, I had rehearsed, and I'd done auditions with other actors, and I got cast as one of the boys. And so I ended up doing this four-hander with almost zero props or set, huge swathes of monologues. Really, like, I pushed my limits, and that was the play that changed my life. From that play, the agents were coming to see who was on, and I had CAA taking me to lunch at the Ivy, and then in the evening, WME, William Morris Endeavour were in the evening, and they were taking me to dinner at the Ivy. And I'd walk into the Ivy the second time, like, oh, welcome back, sir. I'm like, I had never been here until today.
So good.
What do you ever think if you hadn't wrote that card?
I know, what if you hadn't written that card? That was a great thing to do.
Well, I tell you something, I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you two right now.
Wow. Isn't it amazing how things can happen like that? It's extraordinary. Yeah. And then from that role that you played, and the reviews, rave reviews, everything was great, and getting people bidding for you at the Ivy, I love that. It's great. And was that then the movie career took off?
That's
after
it.
That, right?
Yeah, yeah. I then signed with an agent and a manager, and obviously my new agent in London, who really was he saw me in Rent and gave me the opportunity, told me about this play. Otherwise, I wouldn't have known about either. And then I went to LA, and I knew that I had to pass my driving test, because I never passed my test. I was 27, 28, living in central London. Nobody needed to drive. Mm. Couldn't afford a car anyway, or anywhere to park it. So then I went for driving lessons, and it was winter, so it was miserable time to learn how to drive. I passed my driving test, thank God. Didn't drive a car after that. And for 6 months later, I went to LA after saving money, after I finished Piaf at the Donmar, second show I did there. Mm. Went to LA, got out of the airport, went to the rental company, and I rented a car with the steering wheel on the left-hand side, never driven in another country, and drove to my friend's house where I stayed for 3 months. And it was the most terrifying journey I've ever had in my life.
I bet it was. The traffic there's nuts.
But it's not, all the rules are different.
Yeah.
I was on the other side of the road. I mean, when you got to do something, I've never been one to shy away from it. It's like, come on, you can do this. I'm a very good talking myself into something and going, you'll regret it if you don't do this. So just get on and try it. And it's a bit like the letter to the casting director, and all these moments in retrospect, I realize, you know, good on you as a young actor who felt like he wasn't getting anywhere, really, to take the bull by the horns. And
wow. Prefer being on stage to being on screen?
No, they're so different.
Yeah.
They're so different. The thing about film is that you can go back and tweak and change in every take. You know, you can do lots of different kinds of takes. In theatre, it's live. And live means you don't stop.
Mm.
And also, it means you also have an audience in the dark looking at you. And they want to be entertained, and you want them to be entertained, and you want to carry them along. So they're very different forms of performance, but they're both very rewarding. One is immediate, and the other one is much later when the film or TV thing comes out, you know. So I like them both very much, but there's nothing like singing live in front of an audience or performing on stage in front of an audience, because you get a reaction, you know. Somebody finds it funny or sad, or they love it, they'll clap or they'll make a noise, and you can feed off that. That's live shows for you. There's nothing quite like it.
Has anything ever gone wrong?
Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, my God. So many things. And not just for me. I mean, it's a general acceptance that, you know, after you've been in a show for about 6 months, your brain starts to slightly, you know, fade sometimes. You're not exactly in the moment. Sometimes you forget the words. And my famous one I remember mostly was that I was in Miss Saigon. It was a Saturday matinee in Southampton. I say no more. And all I was thinking about was the giant burger that I was going to have in this amazing burger restaurant opposite the theatre after the matinee. And this wonderful actress who was playing Kim was singing The Last Night of the World, you know. Mm. In a world that won't let us free, well, I have found you, I have found you. And then she's coming to the end of her line where I start to sing. I'm like, burger, oh, shit, she's... And I knew the tune, of course. I couldn't remember the words. So I basically went... And she looked at me like, what are you doing? But you know what? She carried on. So I finished the line like, sorry. And she carried on. And then I remember where I was. The hamburger was out of my brain and I was back in the room. But for that moment, you know, I just thought, and something has to come out. And I had family in as well. That's probably why I was a bit distracted, because I knew they had friends and family in the audience. So I was thinking, oh, they're going to come backstage and go, what did you sing? My mother went, I thought you were speaking Vietnamese.
So you got away with it.
You got away with it.
She had seen the show about 5 times at that point.
Okay. So she maybe know that something was going on.
That's a mother for you. That's mother's love.
Oh. And what was the big movie role that kicked it all off? What did you burst onto the screen doing?
I mean, the first big thing I did was The Hobbit.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was 12 months of my life, 3 major movies, playing such a brilliant, wonderful, well-written character. I mean, he kills the dragon. I mean,
spoiler, but everyone's seen it.
Yeah,
at this point. But it was a magical experience, and that sort of gave me a much bigger platform. And from that, I went and then and did the set. And the next big thing was Owen Shaw in Fast and the Furious, which, you know, I can't go anywhere in Latin America or Asia where that is not the person that they know.
Really?
Like, I am Owen Shaw to them forever.
Did you like playing the baddie?
Oh, no, I loved it. Of course. Yeah, it's the best. Everyone should play a baddie once in their life.
Well, you were Gaston as well.
Gaston. That's a good one.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, I'd done nothing for families. All my shows were more for adults. Mm-hmm. And then this came along. I didn't really want to do it. I'd said no a couple of times. And then my best friend and his godchildren convinced me that I should do it. Mm. And so I went in and I sang for Bill Condon. And I got it. And it was one of the most rewarding, fun experiences every day to put that costume on, have that little cleft put in my chin, have those eyebrows painted in, and just walk onto those sets knowing I was playing such a famous animated character from Disney's archives. It was just one of those magical things, and I appreciated it very much. And, you know, thank God I said yes.
Imagine now
watching somebody else playing that character.
No.
I don't know who else would have done it. It's one of those things that you can't think who else would...
Idris Elba auditioned for it.
Did he?
Did he?
Yeah. When I was coming out of my audition, he was going in.
No way.
Oh, no, that
one... I mean, I'm assuming he was up for Gaston.
Oh.
I don't think he would have been up for the Lassie. He wouldn't have been up for...
It just held her in a big yellow dress.
He could have been the Beast.
Could have been the Beast.
I suppose he could have, yeah, I guess. But look, this career that you...
Look.
This career, people, this is great. I'm doing this. This is fantastic. And as we know, as well as, you know, a hugely successful acting career, now the album is out, second album I know. You're very greedy. You've got two amazing careers at the same time. It's fantastic, but it's really good. It doesn't often happen like that.
No, it doesn't. And often people don't like it. People struggle to see you as different kinds of performer. And I didn't know whether people would accept me as a singer. But, you know, singing was my first love. I just happened to then become an actor. Yeah. But it never disappeared. And I just love singing. And when you can record an album and do it on such a high level as to what I've been able to do it, like with the first album was the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra, the second was the Prague Philharmonic Orchestra, the Treorchy Male Voice Choir, Nicole Kidman, Charlotte Church, singing some of the most incredible songs in the world. And then it, you know, landing at number four in the charts and, you know, getting to sing at the Festival of Remembrance and, and having my own BBC special Showtime for Christmas with all these wonderful guests. I mean, I'm just living this moment and, you know, I just hope people appreciate, you know, this is a boy that's living his dream. And if you like it, great. If you don't, it's a shame because this is something he's doing all the things he loves at the moment. And I know it's not often that people get the opportunity to do that. So I'm really grateful for it. And can't believe it.
No, it's great. And you sang on Strictly as well, which was beautiful.
Oh, Strictly, I forgot about that,
We were so lucky to hear your voice at Adele.
Now, when we went to see Adele...
Well, I'm sorry about that.
No. I actually enjoyed listening to your joy at being there.
I've never seen anyone more happy in my life.
I have never seen a happier boy.
Yeah.
Never seen a happier boy. And actually listening to you singing along to her, it was you should have just basically got up on the stage with her. That would have been good.
Well, probably were just too far away, Lorraine. Otherwise, I'd have climbed that barrier. They wouldn't have been able to stop me.
But it was a joy. Clearly it's something that you... Well, I know you're a huge fan of Adele. I mean, who isn't? But clearly it's something that you absolutely love. I mean, you were in your element, wasn't you?
Mm. Isn't that whole thing of you're supposed to keep your hobbies and your work separate because otherwise your work will become... Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I do. But then if you love it so much... Yeah, then it's not
make
work.
Make it a job and then it's not work, yeah.
And what I do, although I do work very hard and I do feel like I have a good, strong work ethic, but I feel like I work to have this experience. Mm. The experience is... Every moment is like something I never thought would happen. Mm. So the gratitude I have for every step I have in this part of my life is just like, wow, this is mad, you know? And getting to share it with my family and my friends who've watched me and seen me struggle over the years and then have moments of success and then, you know, just for them to be able to bask in it as well. And, you know, everybody gets a little bit of glitter in this journey. Mm. And I love that.
I like that. Spread the glitter.
Yeah, I like that.
I think I think that's what everybody should do. Tell me about Horizon Blue, because that's a song that means so much to you. That's the one you wrote. And, you know, you could have easily, of course, done the whole album as covers and putting your own interpretation on these amazing songs, which you have done so beautifully. But was it really important to you as well to have something that you've absolutely created?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was nervous as hell because I've never written before and I'd only written lyrics, but I'm quite good at poetry and stories that rhyme. But it was Amy Wodge, an incredible Welsh songwriter who I adore, is one of the nicest people I've ever met. She guided me and she helped me. And through lockdown, we were doing it over Zoom and we wrote these two songs. And Horizons Blue and Busy Breaking Yours, two songs that were the original tracks that we ever wrote together. And they came from the heart, and one is tragic and one is hopeful and optimistic. And, you know, it's amazing that those scribbles on a piece of paper sitting on the wall of this house I was renting is then I've got my headphones on, I've got an 80-piece orchestra, and that little piece of paper has now turned into this, and then it's on an album and people are talking about it. It's a very cathartic experience. Very scary because, you know, it's really honest and it's sort of like, this is my work. And I can't blame the director or I can't blame the film or the script. It's my script and I wrote it and it came from my mind and my heart. And it's this extremely vulnerable place. But, you know, as an actor, as a performer, sometimes the best stuff comes from when you put yourself in a vulnerable place and you give yourself to the audience. And I've written more and I have some great songs. I tell you, some great songs.
So you're going to... Would you do an album just of your own songs? Do you think that would be the next thing, maybe? Or
that would be something...
Yeah. Mm.
I think, you know, if I do get to do a third album, I think it will have to be almost all originals, I think. I've got enough ideas and enough imagination and creative juices flowing that I could write a whole album. Yeah, yeah, for sure. They'd all be love songs and inspiring songs. But I have got one which is like an anthem. And it's epic.
So, an epic anthem. Could it be used at football or rugby or something like that?
Could be. Could be. Anywhere that's inclusive and unifying.
Teasing
that kind
it
of
now.
Environment would work with this kind of song.
That would be good, wouldn't it? And you're doing.
You can be in the video for sure.
Can we be in the video singing? Well, no, miming. I can't sing, but you can sing.
I can't sing.
You can. You can hold a tune. I can't.
We were all
singing. We were all singing that night, but
that was. It was great. Such good fun. It really was. Now, look, we're going to see you as Scrooge. I can't believe anybody less likely to be Scrooge. I mean, at the end, not the original. You know, at the end when he's all lovely and giving out presents and all that. I can see you doing that. Christmas song. Come on, a Christmas song. You have to do a Christmas song. It's a dripping roast for the rest of your life, and there, there it is. So you must do that.
Yeah, yeah.
That has
I
to
should
happen.
Write a Christmas song.
Yes, yeah, you should. Christmas album.
Well, hey guys, maybe I already have.
Now, you talked earlier on about the connection with Cubby Broccoli, who used to do the James Bond thing. So,
oh, we were wondering.
Yes,
we've had a Scottish James Bond.
We have. God bless them.
We've had a blonde Bond.
We have.
Are we ready for a Welsh Bond?
You also have had a Welsh Bond in the past.
Who is Welsh?
Who is Welsh?
Yeah.
I know.
Dalton.
Timothy Dalton.
Timothy Dalton.
I didn't know he was Welsh.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. No. Because he's got a very, very beautiful man, but I always thought he was, he's got this sort
of perfect
voice.
I think he'd got rid of his accent.
Yeah.
Oh.
Maybe that's what you had to do back then. So you don't have to do that now.
I don't think I'd get rid of mine. I think it would be fantastic
Or wouldn't it?
I mean, can you imagine Sean without his Scottish accent?
Never. No. Sean was Scottish and everything. Do you remember he played a Russian, he was a Russian submarine captain and he was still Scottish.
Hunt for Red October.
That's right, I loved that film.
And
me
too.
He was Scottish and everything. You've got to be Welsh and everything. It has to be, that's to be your thing now.
That could be the thing
Yes, no, definitely.
I mean, well, this thing I'm on TV on Apple TV Plus has started yesterday, premiered Echo 3.
Echo 3.
I'm Southern in it and I played it for 10 months. So I was in that character's voice accent more than I was in my own. I was all over the place when I was myself.
See, that must be so strange, when you've got to do that. But
you're still, you know, so Welsh. I know that sounds mad, but you have it as well. You've not lived in Scotland for years, but you're you're Scottish.
I think you can lose it if you want to lose it. And obviously, of course, look, you've got to for certain roles. You know, you have to. Of course you do.
Different.
I mean, Sean Connery just...
And thank God for him.
And absolutely, of course. But we would love to see you as James Bond. Should that so happen, that would be fine. Mm-hmm. But to be fair, you are pretty busy. So maybe you might not be able to fit it in. So there we are.
Or a singing Bond.
I think I would try.
I know.
If it did happen.
Oh my gosh, you could do the theme song.
Right, do that.
You
could do
the theme
tune.
You could do everything.
And then
put some prosthetics on me and I can play the villain too. I mean, come on. It's like...
See, think of the money you'd save them if we're doing all that. It'd be extraordinary. It would be amazing.
Do you have a dream role that you haven't done yet?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I'm always surprised at the things I get offered, and I love that because it means people are not putting me in a box. Mm. My jobs are all very varied even at this point, but this year has been even more diverse for me. And so as I'm getting older, the stories and the characters I'm presented with are even more unusual, but they're often things I've not thought about. And it's a real exciting moment. I go, okay, let me think about this. I'd never thought about that. Mm. You know, and so... I mean, I love comedy. I do enjoy making people laugh. I've made people scared for enough, but I don't mind doing that a little bit more. But, you know, mixing it up with a bit more comedy might be fun. Singing is always wonderful. I'd love to do a musical. That would be fantastic. Being Scrooge in the animation of Netflix was just a joy, you know, so that was very, very special. So who knows? But I don't have a specific role I'd like to play, but I like the challenge. So anything that's challenging and pushes me out of my comfort zone, which I'm really in, by the way, is good.
Yeah, no, it is, absolutely. And you're so right. Nobody can put you in a little box. They can't pigeonhole you because, you know, even when we were talking about you and all the different things that you've done, you can't say, oh, look, Evans, he does that and only that.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, you do so many different things and that's fantastic. I mean, that's why you do the job you do, isn't it? So that you challenge yourself and you get to play as many different parts as you can.
Yeah, and it keeps it interesting. And I want to, you know, at some point, you know, when I'm old, I'll look back and go, you know, you went from Dracula to a dragon slayer to the gay husband of Billy Porter. You know, it's like, you know, let's just keep
we
it
love
mixed
Billy
up.
Porter. He's fantastic.
Yeah,
absolutely fantastic. It's fantastic fashion sense, don't you think? Goodness me.
I've seen his wardrobe.
Have
it's
you?
Full on.
Is
wow.
It? Yeah, oh, yeah. That would be a yeah. joy just to be
in like
his
a museum,
thing.
Wouldn't it?
It would. It'd be fantastic.
But like living.
I tried a pair of his heels on.
Did you?
Oh.
Did they fit you though?
Yeah, just about. Yeah, yeah. We were there for, it was called a cookout. It was in the summer.
Oh.
And so we had a big barbecue. All his family and friends were there. It was just before we started shooting. And yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I'd be a pro on them, but I definitely
good for having a go.
Yeah.
Good for you for having a go. And also good for you because you do something that in this day of the internet and social media and everything, you keep your life to you. I mean, you're very, very open and accessible about your work. And so you should. I mean, what, you know, and I think that's that. It shows you that it can be done. It absolutely can be done. And fair play to you for that, because I think you've got to have a wee bit of yourself. You know, you can't give everything. Yeah. You've got to have a wee bit of yourself, for goodness sake.
You do. You do. And it's hard because you never give enough.
Mm.
People often want more. But, and I think I give enough. I'm happy with where I am, you know. But it's a strange old world, this social media business, isn't it?
It is weird. Thank God they didn't have it when I was growing up, Luke.
Oh,
thank the Lord there was no Facebook and there was no Twitter and there was none of that, because, you know, we all make mistakes in our lives. We just don't want them
coming back.
You just don't want them coming back to you, that's for sure. Now, Luke, it's been such a joy talking to you, but Rose,
we do this little tradition at the end of every episode.
We do.
We ask our guests to tell us their biggest fail, regret and win.
Ooh.
And they could be funny or sad or, you know, whatever you want. So we'll start with fail.
Have you got one? I don't know if you have.
Oh, I'm sure I've got loads. I'm just trying to think of a good one. Fail. Oh, God. I hate being put on the spot. I'm terrible.
Well, you don't have to have had one.
You don't have to have had one.
It may be something that's still yet to come. Or it may never happen.
Sure. Thanks, Lorraine.
Or it may never happen. I was just going to go on to say it may never happen. It will never happen.
It hasn't happened and it will never happen.
It will never happen.
So what about a regret?
A regret. Mm. I guess regret is a weird thing, isn't it? Mm. I mean, it's not a pleasant thing to regret something. And I've tried to live my life in a way as much as I can where I don't have to regret a lot. I make lots of decisions and I try and put a lot of thought into my decisions, personally life and public life and professional life and family life. Honestly, I don't.
I think that's
so
brilliant.
Boring,
yeah.
No, it's not.
No, it's not. It's lovely.
It's fantastic.
I don't hang on to those things.
Yeah. Good
and
for
I come
you.
From a family that are very resilient. We're like water off a duck's back.
We just go. Yeah.
That was a moment, get rid of it, let's forget about it, moving forward, love you. And that kind of thing has always been my mantra, is like, hang on to the good stuff.
Yeah. Mm.
Hang on to the positive things. Regret is not a great thing because you can't do anything about it.
Exactly. Yeah. So there's no point.
There's nothing you can do. Regret is like an empty energy. You can think about something and go, okay, well, I should have done this better. But then you've got the opportunity in the steps you make from that point to do something better in the future.
I like that. That's a perfect answer.
And finally, your biggest win.
My biggest win is getting to talk to you two on a Friday morning, on whatever day it is today. I don't even know what day it is. That's the biggest win I've had.
Behave. I want to say, right, here are things I want to see. I want to see you and Adele. You know how she's doing her thing in Vegas right now?
Oh, you could just pop up.
Just go and be there. Just do it. Just do it now.
Turn up.
I mean, don't tempt me, because I literally would.
No, you have to. No, you have to do it. There is no discussion about this or debate. It has to be done.
Have you met her? Have you spoken to her?
No. Oh, I've never spoken to her.
I have to say though,
when last year when she did the London show, she did a couple of little private gigs at Ronnie Scott's.
Oh.
And her people, they clearly knew that I was a fan because they invited me. They said, Adele would like to invite you to this very private thing. So they clearly knew that I'm a big fan, because they didn't invite everybody, and I was one of them. I was in the middle of the jungle in Colombia.
Okay, so that could be one of your regrets.
Yes.
That's my regret. There we go.
I love it. I love it.
My regret is that they tied me to the jungle trees too tightly and I couldn't get away, because I think I would have left.
Right, that's something that we have to make happen.
Yeah.
Luke Evans, what a joy. to talk
you so
to
much.
You. And congratulations on everything that you're doing. Just keep doing what you're doing. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. I love your passion and your energy. And thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Lovely chatting with you.